I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share? Who are people gonna rise up and take what's there? Don't you know you better run, run, run. But a revolution, it's finally the table are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution.
Welcome back. Welcome back to America's Heroes Group. This is Colonel, retired Colonel Arnold, sitting in for the governor of talk radio, Cliff Kelly, who has another engagement he is attending right now. But we are, our love goes out to him. He always is the spark and the fire behind the show. So we have America Heroes Group roundtable with a partner service, Women Who Serve. And we are pleased to have a panelist, Diana Davis, U.S. Army veteran and a national advocate and activist on women veteran issues and lead administrator of social media service, Women Who Serve. The discussion will be centered around cultural changes needed to address racism. And we are so pleased and honored to have you, Diana. So you can chime in at any time. We are here ready to hear your speech because I know you have a lot to say.
Hi. I hope you're doing well today,
yes,
sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think that all of us are pretty clear that mm-hmm. the events in the last couple of weeks have set off a firestorm in the country.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And within the veterans and military communities, people are very polarized. Mm-hmm. And among women veterans, that's no different. They're in all of our groups, all across the net, we're having the same kinds of discussions, and they all go sort of like this. Black lives matter. All lives matter.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And then it's like, okay, can we please talk about the fact that, yes, in fact, all lives matter. However, everybody's life isn't in danger right now. Black lives are, so that's why we're talking about Black Lives Matter. It's not a political thing. It is social justice. It is human rights, and we need to talk about it.
Yes,
well,
yes.
You know, so we have been going through that, and one of the things I did is I posted a clarion call for action. And I said, effectively, white people caused this. This is on them. Quit making Black people have to fix stuff. If you are the oppressed,
yes.
you don't have the responsibility for fixing the oppressor. The oppressor has to stop oppressing. That's yes. the way this works.
Yes.
And so there have been a lot of arguments about it. So I've talked to people about getting books, about learning some things. And, of course, every time you bring up something of this nature, then the blowback is, what about the assaults against women in the military? And what about the VA and the assaults in the VA and them not having services for us?
Yes.
And not having, you know, a disciplined group of people to deal with things, and forensic nurses and sexual assault kits and reporting up a proper chain of command and cameras and continuity and consistency and bystander intervention and safety and security and legislative directions. It's like, yeah, well, those are all important things.
Yes.
And they disproportionately impact people of color more in all of these institutions, even though women in the military and the VA are themselves a minority population. And so we have this intersectionality that a lot of people just aren't really good with. And so they don't understand the terms. They don't understand microaggressions. They don't understand what they are and aren't supposed to say. And usually how this bears out is if I say, white people did this, and they go, we didn't have slaves. And I say, that's not the point.
It is
that this country, and now I'm trying to get them to understand things from a little bit different perspective and say, look, this country was built basically by everybody except the ones in charge were white men, and they made all the rules.
Yes.
So we start, as Brené Brown says, from a disadvantage, because if you're the white guys who are the founding fathers, and when people come to you and they say to you at the time of the founding of the country, listen, we need to get rid of slavery and make everybody eligible to vote, and we can't forget the women. Women were property. Black people were two-thirds of a person in the Constitution. It's not like people didn't talk to them about this. They chose to ignore it.
Yes.
They chose to say that Native Americans were savage. They chose to say that people who were at that time, they didn't even have the same kinds of terms for the LGBTQ community. They were just complete outliers and discounted.
Yes.
People with disabilities were treated as pariahs on society. So we have a history of saying everything that's good goes to white guys, and they get like almost all of it, and everybody else has to fight for that. Thus, the amendments to the Constitution, that if you fought long and hard enough, you could get a little bit of a piece of the pie.
Right, 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 yes.
And so that's the way we've run this country. And if you bring it, if you break it down to the fact that, hey, look, you were at all, everybody in any of these other groups were all at a disadvantage from day one, and it was built that way.
Yes, yes. You know, it's really interesting because, you know, one of the things that really resonated with me that you said was that, you know, we the disparity in the viewpoints of Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter. And, you know, I was thinking about it when you were talking. I was saying that's like being on a beach and saying everyone is wet while someone is drowning. You know, so.
My cousin had a really tough time and had to go in and get a surgery. Well, my grandmother had surgery last year and had a really tough time. It's like, it's not that I don't care about your grandmother, but right now my cousin is in critical condition in ICU.
Yes.
You
know? Yeah, right, right, right. Exactly, exactly. that's right. That's
and
right.
And we keep, you know, doing this. A friend of mine who is, who is the founder and executive director of Women Veterans Social Justice, Bridget McCoy, and I got on the phone the second the first story broke about renaming all of the military installations that were named after Confederates.
Yes, yes.
And this is another one of my ilk points. It's like, listen.
Yes.
You don't name stuff after the guys who lost.
Yes, right. That's right.
Our flag. I said, your flag is a white flag. You surrendered.
Yes, yes. That would be sort of like in Nazi Germany having a statue of Hitler's Institute, right?
What I told them is that some of the guys came on and they were saying on the Service Women Who Serve page, and they were saying, hey, listen, you know, we've always acknowledged, you know, the contributions of our enemies.
Yes.
And I said, well, where's Fort Mussolini, Fort Hitler, and, you know,
right,
Fort
Hitler,
and they're like, what? I said, well, I want to know where Fort Ho Chi Minh is.
Right, that's right.
Could you please tell me what's going on here? Could I have, you know, could I have a bid on the Alamo? What are we doing?
And it's just really interesting because the first thing we did, actually, when we were in the war overseas, we pulled down the statue of Saddam Hussein. And people in many of the other countries will try to get rid of those remembrances of the people who were suppressing them. And that's a very, very interesting view.
Well, you know, the other part that amazes me, it's like people immediately started naming litanies of lists of, these are all the guys we should name the forts after.
Yes.
And I said, okay, we're going to change names on forts. I got some names for you. And they're like, what? I said, well, how about Deborah Sampson?
She was
in the Revolutionary War, got hurt, got found out, was serving as a man. Washington himself discharged her and gave her money to get home.
What
about Dr. Walker? Mary Walker was a Civil War surgeon. She was a hero. She was
POW.
Yes. She was a Medal of Honor winner. Military took it back. Then they gave it back. Then they took it back. Then they get make up your mind. The woman was a hero. Stop it.
Yes.
You know, Cathay Williams, who served as Williams Cathay.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yes.
Buffalo Soldiers,
that's right.
Buffalo Soldier, African-American woman.
That's right.
Got hurt, got booted in 1868, as soon as they found out she was a woman. But she served for 3 years in the Buffalo Soldiers.
Okay, yeah, we have one caller who's calling in, and we're going to let her ask her question. It's Bridget. Pleased and honored to have you on the show.
Hi, I just have a couple comments for Diana Danis. I follow a lot of what she does online, and I couldn't even really go through all when they posted that she's going to be on the show. All the work that she has done with veterans, I couldn't even go through the whole resume or whatever they put up. So I see a lot of what the ideas she puts online, and I just want to say, like, I noticed on the veteran sites with Black Lives Matter that I'm noticing it with the Women's Veterans Day yesterday. I'm noticing that there's a lot of backlash from veterans themselves, and I don't understand why we can't get to the point where if one group or one person, if they're being acknowledged for whatever type of oppression it is, where we as veterans can't seem to think more outside of the box and say, like, it's not taking something away from me because we have acknowledged Black Lives Matter and then people have to write All Lives Matter. Well, we already know that. That's, like, why we have to have this backlash amongst ourselves.
Yes.
So I think the things, all the history that Diana Danis is putting out, That's history. Like, why can't we acknowledge the history? Like, I saw it yesterday on the Facebook post with the Women's Veterans Day.
Yes.
And there's saying it's divisive, or saying Black Lives Matter is divisive. It's not divisive. It doesn't do the rest of us any good if people have to keep going through these types of oppression and we're silent about it. And then when, as veterans, we see these things, instead of supporting, most people have some kind of a rude comment or some kind of a backlash. I mean, it just doesn't get us anywhere. So I just wanted to make those comments, and I'm glad that we have people like her. I hope she's on some more forums
so we can
share some knowledge.
Yes, I've already enjoyed what she's been saying, and what you're saying is that, you know, one of the things I think people have to realize is that when we put on a uniform, we're putting it on for all of the people in the country, and irrespective of what their sexual orientation is, what their beliefs are, their race, their ethnicity, and we're serving all of Americans. So I never discriminated against anyone in this country when I served overseas, you know, in two tours and duty and in combat. And I feel that that's what we need to bring us together. It's that the people who are wearing the uniform have a social responsibility as citizens as well. So we're citizen soldiers and airmen and Navy personnel. So that's something that I think is really essential, and I'm really glad you brought that point up. That is really at the heart of what we're talking about. And Diana, maybe you can talk a little bit more about that as well.
I think that part of it is that we have a polarization with social media.
Yes.
People have learned to live in a silo. They surround themselves with like-minded people.
Yes.
They don't want to explore new vistas. And when I say new vistas, it's like, if you want to understand a lot of what's going on in the country right now, and you can be a hero, and you can be a veteran, and you can, hell, you can be married to a black guy, you can be married to a Native American, whatever, but it does not stop you from being a racist if you don't educate yourself about those things. We need to do things like encourage people to read. When I write these things on our various pages, I talk to them and say, read White Fragility by Robin D'Angelo. Read How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram Kendi. Read Coming of Age in Mississippi. There's a thousand others. Read materials by Langston Hughes and Frederick Douglass and Ida B. Wells. We don't need a bunch of new authors, although we've got some tremendously lovely new authors.
Yes.
But we have thousands of books, and I think that it is important for people to get their hands on some things, even if it's a cliff note, and say, I'm going to learn. On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder is an excellent piece that's very quick to read. It really talks about how we give our freedom away when we get into these, you know, corners and beat our heads against walls and don't try to talk to each other about, okay, I didn't know I was doing that. Can you teach me? Can you help me learn? Can we have a conversation?
But yeah, can you give that title and author? Can you get that title and author again so people can have that?
On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder.
By Timothy Snyder,
He calls it 20 Lessons from the 20th Century.
Okay.
And it's really, it's an excellent short text, doesn't take very long to read, and it really covers the types of things that we're willing to give away in order to just be right. We're willing to give up freedoms and freedom of speech and access and, you know, various and sundry privileges in order to be right about something that scares us because we allow fear to drive us. So I look to say to people, don't be afraid, because some of the undertones are, if we do this, Native Americans are going to rise up and do what we've done to them. If we do this, Hispanics are going to rise up and do what we did to them. If we do this, LGBTQ people are going to rise up. And most of all, and most ardent of all today, if we do this, black people are going to rise up and do what we did to them. What we have to do is say, mea culpa, this was really horrible, and I've got a lot to learn.
Yes.
How can I best learn these lessons and not do it again? Privilege is something that it's very hard to get people to give up. They don't know they enjoy it. When you start listing how many privileges and entitlements they enjoy,
they're
like, oh, well, I don't want to give that up. It's like, well, it's not giving it up. It's sharing it. It's equality. Yeah, but I want all of it. Yeah, but see, you've had all of it for so long, and you weren't generous in how you handled yourself with it.
Yes,
so we have to have equality for everyone, and that means that you can't make this political. It's got to be that this person standing next to me, regardless of sex, education, gender preferences, religion, color of skin, disability status, whatever it happens to be, is absolutely the same as me and deserves to enjoy all the same things that I get. Because some guys wrote it down, I have to look at this and say, this means everyone, not just the ones they included 200-odd years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Those are some really incredible words. I think people, I'm hoping people take these to heart. And, you know, I'm sort of an oil painter. That's one of my hobbies that I've been doing for some time. And I love Gauguin. I love Dali. I mean, I can go across all of the races. I can go through every culture and tell you how much I love the people who are representing that genre, because it's one of my passions. And I think people need to start including things in their passion, whatever it is, and go and sit down with someone who is different from you and have lunch with them or dinner and ask them and talk to them. And I think we need to cross that bridge and start to understand who we are. Many of the people who I served with came from isolated towns, and when we were together, they started to develop a different perception of who the other person was. And unfortunately, people then go back to those towns, and that interaction sometimes doesn't occur. But if you have the opportunity to sit down with someone from a different culture, a different religion, sit down with them and ask them and talk to them, and you will find out that they're just as human as you are. And there's certain inalienable basic rights that all of us have, and we should be supporting each other in this lifetime, this short lifetime we have on Earth, rather than being polarized, as you said, and standing in our own corners. But you
and
know,
you learn not just about art, but history and the history of everybody. We seem to think that it's only some people, but the reality is if all of our textbooks are written by white guys in Texas and edited by white guys in Texas, which they are, we tend to get a rather narrow view of the world. So we need to look at being inclusive, because everybody contributed to the history of this world, not just whoever is in the prevalent position to write it up in a book. So we have to be inclusive. And I also, before we go today, would like to just give a shout out and an honor to two of our national advocates that we lost this week. We lost one to COVID-19. Susie Champeau, whose daughter was killed on active duty, and she was a Gold Star mom and activist, and for suicide and sexual trauma for women in the military and veterans. And Chris Devildog Setchfield, who passed away 2 days later. So we have who is founder of Sisterhood of Veterans. So we've lost some really, really giants among advocates, and I just wanted to share their names.
Oh, thank you. And then also, the Women's Veterans Day, I want to shout out to all women veterans. You served honorably. You served our nation in a phenomenal way. We thank you, and we honor you for your service to this nation. And, you know, one thing, we have a very short period of time, about 15 seconds, but can you give us something about women who serve and how to get in contact with you, a phone number or an email address?
They can contact me. I do the lead administration at ddd2723@aol.com.
Okay.
They can call 308-775-2723. And they can find us on Facebook at Service Women Who Serve.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And I'm going to hand the show over to our illustrious Glenda Smith, who is our executive director. And I will have her give us the wrap-up.
Thank you, Diana, for a great show. We're looking forward to a great, great, great shows with Service Women Who Serve. Great job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. To all of our panelists, partners who call the show, always supporting America's Heroes Group, in regards to information and resources that's needed about affordable housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Walker Drive, Suite 4250. Thank you all for always watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you will stay connected and will receive future notifications regarding shows, events, information, resources regarding veterans, armed forces, family members, and our communities. As always, we're grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle of the Chicago Crusaders, and our articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members can be viewed online at www.chicagocrusaders.com to subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column with the one and only Governor of Talk Radio, Mr. Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group. The article is Voices and America's Heroes Group. Call the Chicago Crusaders 1-773-752-2500 or send an email to ads@chicagocrusaders.com and request a subscription.
Okay, and the Governor Talk Radio, you have a tough job sitting in today. I can attest to that.
Dr. Arnie, you did a good job sitting in, but it's no replacing the man, the voice, the legend, Mr. Cliff Kelly.
The governor.
I miss him today like never before.
Yes.
Can't wait for him to come back, but you did a great job, and thank you so much.
Yes.
To the technical producers at WBON, the best two dynamic duo, Titus Williams and LaTierra Randall.
Yeah.
Girl, you held it down today and balanced it all out. Great job. To our global listening audience, Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, thank you guys so much. We are global. We are in 20 countries, 28 states. Mm-hmm. 8 of those are red states because you are listening and supporting. Have a blessed and safe weekend.
And to our governor, Pritzker, and to the public health department, are doing a fantastic job trying to save our lives and protect us.
Yes, absolutely.
So thank you.
Yes. And whether people know it or not, Dr. Arnold, you are the chairman of the board of directors, so you set in when Cliff called because Cliff is a team player and he understands the impact that this show is having.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
He didn't want to play a repeat. So you stepped up and stepped in.
Okay.
Have a great one.
That explains the flames on my feet.
Thanks.
Thanks.